Once again, let's get back to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Thank you and welcome back. We're at the Ask Andy portion. Andy's unable to be here this week, but he sent me a lot of answers. He had a lot of questions. He had a busy week the week before. Just tons of questions came in. He answered a lot of them by email, so I'm sure a lot of you have received those answers. And there's some that kind of pulled together and kind of cover different things, and those are the ones he pulled together and called and asked me if I would go over some of those for you today. The first one came from a couple people. I suppose after the holidays, people were getting new printers as gifts. And Trudy, among about six or seven others, if I recall Andy saying, talked about they added the new printer, but they still have their old printer listed, and it prints on their old printer. And how do they get the print on the new printer? What's the easy way to do that? Well, you really want to make your new printer the default printer. And you can tell your computer doing that so that every time you then tell the printer to print something, it will print on your new computer, not your old computer. If you still have your old computer, I would leave that old computer icon there. If you have gotten rid of the old computer, eliminate it so there's no competition between the two printers. But we're going to talk about making it a default so that every time your printer prints, it goes to your new printer. What you need to do is this. Go to Start, and then go to Settings, and then Printers. That's pretty standard. Most people know how to do that. Go to the Start, and then you find Settings, and then Printers. And you'll see your old and new printer both displayed. Then right-click on the printer you want to make your default printer. In other words, you got your new printer there. You've installed it from the software, or most printers, when you plug them in, the software will read it and install it themselves. But find that printer, the new printer listed, and then right-click it, and you want to establish a default printer. In this case, it's your new printer. And on the menu that appears, click to place a check mark beside Set Printer as Default. And then close the printer window. And then you can print a test page or print any page, and then you'll find out that your new printer is now printing. So every time you go to print, it will print to your new printer. There's a few exceptions. There's a few freeware products that set up a chain on your computer, and what happens is when you go to print, it's still going to chain to your old printer. And that creates a whole other problem. So your old printer printing once in a while, that's what you need to eliminate that printer, and it can't find that printer, so it jumps to the other. But that's not really with the major purchases of software. It's kind of the free independent ones or the free downloads or those kinds of things. Another question, the person bought a new keyboard. We often do that. The keyboards, we spill stuff on them, or keys fall off, or they get sticky, or some key will constantly not work. Some letter will either repeat itself or not print at all. So we get a new keyboard, and you just plug it in. It's usually USB, and it's going to work fine. There's be no problem. But what we've been asked about is the cap lock. Tom said that he knows there's a way to make the computer beep when he puts down the cap lock. Well, there is. Most people don't worry about that, but some people are very keen to sounds, and they want to use that because it's very easy when you want to hit tab. Instead, you accidentally hit the cap lock, and then you find out you got three sentences typed all capital letters. That can be very frustrating. So what Tom wants is ability so when he accidentally or on purpose hits that cap lock, there's a high-pitched beep that comes out. Well, it's called the toggle feature. The toggle key feature is what you're looking for, and you can find it by going to the control panel and then accessibility options. On the keyboard tab, click the tab besides use toggle keys. Windows will emit a high-pitched sound when the caps lock is enabled, which is not unlike the sound that you hear real high-pitched sound. Again, in Vistas and Windows, you go to Control Panel and then click Ease of Access. That's the difference. The older version, it's accessibility option. On the newer programs, it's called Ease of Access. You make the clipboard easier to use. Place the check mark next, turn on toggle keys. It'll also do the same, which is interesting, also do for the number lock and the scroll lock. I don't know anybody uses a scroll lock, but the scroll lock is there. And so anytime you hit those or toggle those, it will also give a pitch. So just another thing for Tom about the new keyboard. Another question is from Laura. This is a great question. This comes up a lot. Andy says he gets this question probably more than any of them. What it is Laura says she tries to install software. It could be new or it could be a download of an upgrade or something, but it says to disable my antivirus first. Well, I don't know how to do that, so I install without doing it. Sometimes there's no problem. Other times it says will not install until the software is disabled. How do I do that? Well, really simple, nothing to panic or worry about. You can temporarily disable any antivirus by right-clicking the little icon that's in the system tray, and that's the system tray located in the right lower right-hand corner of your screen. It's got how long the battery is, a couple different things there. One of them will be the little icon for your antivirus. From the menu that appears, when you click on that, click Exit or Quit. Most will say exit or quit. Some programs will say close, some stop, some disable, but something that says, you know, it's going to stop it from using. That's all you need to do. And once you do that, poof, that little icon is going to disappear from there, and you can install your program, do whatever you want to do, and then once you get it all installed, restart your computer, and as soon as you restart your computer, that antivirus icon will be enabled again. It'll be active, and you'll see it down there again. So once you click it off, you don't need to click get it started again. Or if you're not sure how to get it started, restart your computer, and automatically your antivirus is now working. So it really is important for many softwares because what it does, the software puts on different things, and it's not going to put them on because the antivirus is stopping it from certain things because it thinks, oh, this must be a virus trying to get in. So that's why you need to disengage your virus software while installing something. And it's very important to do that. And again, as Laura asked and many other ask, it's very simple. Go down to the lower right-hand corner of the system tray, click on the icon, close, stop, disable, quit, exit, whatever it says. Install your program, download the program, whichever it is, or both, and then restart your computer. You're in good shape. We get, or Andy gets a lot of links to different YouTube videos that are out. Of course, there's always a lot of YouTube videos that are around that people get excited about and enjoy. But you can go to Google Video. They have a lot of them. YouTube has a lot of them. But there's a great site. It's called viralvideochart.com. Viralvideochart.com. And what they do is they have a daily listing of the top 20 viewed internet videos. So if you want to be up to date on what everybody's watching on the internet, go to viralvideochart.com. It'll give you the 20 top videos that are out on YouTube and Google and everywhere else. So the ones that are being shown the most are there. That's viralvideochart.com. And one more quick question that Todd asked. I have hundreds of WAV audio files that are taking up lots of hard drive space. Can you recommend a good WAV or MP3 converter that will do the job for free? Well, audio files can be created in many formats. One of the oldest and most common forms is the WAV, W-A-V, a file extension which stands for Waveform Audio Format. Wave was developed jointly by Microsoft and IBM as a standard for all PCs, and it's the main format used on Windows system, and it has pros and cons. The WAV format stores audio data in its raw, uncompressed form. That means WAV files are of very high fidelity, good quality, because none of the data bits have been discarded during compression. A WAV file does not have to be decompressed during playback, so playback goes smoother, the sound is more even, precise, and sharper. Very simple playback software is all that's required to play WAV files, so WAV is a very simple, easy, and good quality way to play files. However, but a WAV file can be very large, 40 to 45 megabytes for a single song. WAV files eat up lots of storage space, and it takes a long time to download something from the web. So these shortcomings was a need for a way to compress it. The MP3 file format can be can store a song in about one-tenth of the space required by a WAV. Again, an MP3 format is about one-tenth the size of a WAV format. MP3 achieves that compression ratio by discarding unnecessary or redundant bits of data from the recording audio stream. Essentially, it makes the playback good enough for consumer use. After all, usually we listen to it on earphones, and those speakers aren't real good speakers. If you want to play something really high quality, leave it as a WAV file. If you want to store it on a small unit, you want to be able to carry around on a flash drive, then you need to go to MP3 format. The MP3 has become the universal standard for iPod and most other personal audio devices. It's more common than the WAV file now. But remember, if you really want quality, it's WAV. If you record a WAV file and later want to compress it to MP3 format, which is the way a lot of people work things, you need a conversion program. Fortunately, there's many, many formats that do this for you. There's many on the web. Some are free. A good choice for WAV to MP3 conversion is Audacity, Audacity. I use it. I've got it both for the Mac and for the PC. It's a free program. It really works great. It gives you a lot of editing flexibility. Audacity has an excellent reputation and is popular because it works on all platforms, all Windows, Mac, and Linux, only Mac OS 2, but it does work on those Macs. And Audacity can handle a wide variety of different formats and offers many editing icons as well. So a lot of flexibility. If you're going to or need to have you have WAV files on your PC, want to put them on your MP3 iPod or whatever you have, MP3 player, go to Audacity, audacity.com, and you'll be able to change all those very easily. Those are the things Andy gave me for today. We want to thank you very much for listening to us. That's about all the time we have for today. I want to thank our engineer, Randy Meyer. I want to thank TalkZone.com, and especially you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Until next week, this is Milo saying, so long, everybody.